Welcome back to Beyond the Uniform. I'm Justin Asiri, and each week I interview military veterans about their civilian career. Today is episode number 94 with Phil McConkie.
Well, I was 27 years old, 158 pounds. I hadn't played football in 5 years. And, you know, I decided I want to go chase this dream. And, you know, literally people laughed at me. And I said, you had absolutely no chance. The odds were astronomically against you. You just can't do it.
Well, my guest today, Phil, has had quite the career. He went straight from the Navy to the NFL. He went on to start his own or co-found his own investment bank where he's now president and helps a lot of veterans get into the world of finance. And I think that beyond those two topics in particular, I think his message is applicable for every veteran because it's one of resilience. He talks about having the courage to pursue your dream, whether that's the NFL or a concert pianist, just really turning down the volume on critics and detractors and having that determination to pursue that dream and to keep coming back. He talks about, you know, being 27 and 150 pounds and everyone doubting his ability to go for the NFL. He talks about being cut many times from the NFL and fighting his way back and how that has helped him in entrepreneurship, starting his own company, how that's helped him in finance, and how that is an attribute for any veteran in whatever you'd like to do. He also talks a lot about the world of finance. His company, Academy Securities, it employs a lot of veterans as an investment bank. So he has good advice about how veterans might find their way in and through the world of finance. As always, at beyonduniform.io, you'll find show notes where you'll find all the references we discuss. You'll also find an offer from audible.com for a free audiobook to get started listening to a book on the go today. The proceeds from that do help offset the cost of the show. So with that, let's dive in to my interview with Phil. Well, joining me today in San Diego, California is Phil McConkie. Phil, welcome to Beyond the Uniform.
I am honored to talk with you and with all of our great veterans active and those that are transitioning and those that have transitioned, Justin. So it's my pleasure to be with you.
Well, for listeners, I wanted to give a very brief background on Phil. He has a very impressive background. He is currently the president of Academy Securities, our nation's first and only post-9/11 military veteran and disabled veteran-owned and operated investment bank and broker-dealer. He started out, he served in this capacity for the last 6 years and started out at the Naval Academy, after which he served for 5 years as a naval aviator. After his military service, he spent 6 years in the NFL with the Packers, Cardinals, Chargers, and the Giants, where he won the Super Bowl. And so, Phil, just to start off, anything to add or amend from that background?
Just a loving father of May and husband of Aaron. So that's, I guess, the more important part of everything.
That's awesome.
In life. It's the people around you, and hopefully I'm a great friend to, you know, so many. And those are the real things in life that count.
Mm. Well, I always like to start with just learning about the story of how you decided to leave the military and how you approached that decision.
Well, I think it was a different time. First of all, I joined the military after a war ended. So I got to the Naval Academy in the summer of 1975. Vietnam was only a year and a half old, I guess. It ended sometime in 1973, I believe. So the anti-war sentiment was pervasive at that point. But I still wanted to serve my country, wanted to get a great education. And I think the difference is when I look at, you know, a lot of our heroes today, you know, again, I joined the military after war ended. You know, most of our great heroes today joined the military after war started. Right? They joined after we were attacked on 9/11. They joined after the war started in Afghanistan. They joined after the war started in Iraq. I would like to think that I would be as brave as many as these heroes, but I'm not so sure. I wonder if I would have, or even my contemporaries would have sacrificed and been as brave to join the military, you know, while these wars were raging. So I'm in awe of our, you know, I've always been in awe. I've been in awe of the military, you know, that preceded me, especially, you know, obviously the Greatest Generation, but, you know, even the Vietnam veterans who were vilified, who, you know, I got people now thanking me in fire service. Nobody was thanking, you know, Vietnam veterans back then, and they deserve our thanks. And because of the sacrifices of many of those individuals, you know, I got to serve in peacetime. You know, the only war that was going on then was a Cold War. So I'm in awe of their sacrifice, and I'm in awe of the sacrifice of those that came, you know, after me. And, you know, even those, my contemporaries that served, and many of them served for decades. So I'm inspired by them, their service. And again, this post 9/11 military veteran community, they're just a real special group of people. And I just believe that, you know, this is the next greatest generation. I think that they're transitioning, and they're going to do some incredible things for our country, just like the Greatest Generation did. So, you know, long-winded answer when you talk about my transition, it was different again. You know, 1984, you know, again, Cold War is going on. And I, you know, had gone to the Naval Academy and wanted to serve my country, but, you know, I wanted to play football, and, you know, I had a great career there. And after I graduated, I thought I'd be in the Navy for, you know, maybe 20 years, 30 years. But, you know, a few years into my commitment, I just started getting this bug and this dream that I had all my life of playing pro football, you know, reappeared. And when I thought it was dead, or it was just dormant, and, you know, I decided I didn't want to be an old man wondering if I could have made it and if I could have realized my dream. So I decided to, you know, get out when my commitment was up, to chase a dream. You know, I've thought often about whether or not I would have made that transition if, you know, a war was raging. I don't know. It's just something that I think about often. And again, I would like to think that I am or was as brave as many of our current military personnel and those that are transitioning.
I appreciate that, and I just also appreciate, you know, from an external view of what I see from your career, how much of what you've done, and I'm excited to get into Academy Securities, but so much of what you've done is empowering so many veterans and helping so many veterans in this career and in this company. And so I just love that you've taken that passion and you've used it to continue to help the military community. I think that's extremely admirable.
Well, we always say, when we started this company, you know, we had a simple premise of taking a Wall Street veteran and pairing them with a military veteran, a transitioning military veteran. We believe that 1 + 1, you know, equaled 3. When you took the networking ability, the ability to generate revenue day one, and what Wall Street professionals have gone through, take that experience, and when you pair them with a military veteran that have such incredible expertise in a lot of areas and experiences that are just phenomenal, you know, those things would translate into us being able to add more value for our customers. You know, by taking the best of the military culture to Wall Street and financial services, we thought it would resonate, you know, with our clients, differentiating ourselves. When I talk about the best of the military culture, I'm talking about honesty, integrity, loyalty, teamwork, service. You know, we are in a service industry. When you strive to put the interests of your clients ahead of your own, again, we thought that that would be value add to our customers, and it's been the case, you know, as we've built this firm. It's truly been that way. And we said all along, you know, engaging and hiring a military veteran is not only the right thing to do, it's the smart thing to do for your own company. If you think about it, you think about the experiences and the sacrifices that our veterans have made, and you take those skills, you know, and again, we're in a very, you know, it's a very highly technical military we have today, more so than at any time in our history. And those skills translate to the private sector. You know, our task is to get military veterans to understand how their experiences can translate into the private sector in jobs, and also at the same time taking corporations in the private sector and getting them to understand what incredible value military veterans are for their own company. They're going to enhance those companies. They're going to improve those companies. As I said before, this is the next greatest generation. The World War II greatest generation, they saved the world from tyranny, and then they came back and they transitioned and they built the United States up to an economic power, to levels of prosperity unseen in the history of the civilized world. Mm. Our true belief is these transitioning veterans, Iraq, Afghanistan, are capable and are currently doing the same thing for our country and our private sector and our businesses. So it's the smart thing to do for companies to engage veterans and disabled veterans. You know, we have a young man here that we were recruiting and, you know, had an accident and you know, just has just tremendous obstacles and hurdles to overcome every single day of his life just to get to the office. And I remember when we recruited him, sight unseen, because, you know, he wanted to be in Southern California because they did outfit him with a vehicle to drive, and it's just easier getting around. And when he asked what the hardest thing about selling was, because he didn't know anything about selling or financial services, and, you know, I remember describing the tough task of cold calling and how difficult it is to pick up the phone and call somebody that you've never met before that doesn't know you and introduce yourself in the company, and they hang up on you or they tell you where to go or they're not interested and you've got to be persistent and blah, 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 and this is so tough. And when I got done with the preaching about that, he said to me, well, when you're making these cold calls, is anybody shooting at you? You know, So when you look at life in the private sector, when you look at business, when you look at financial services, it's a piece of cake. It's a piece of cake compared to what our veterans, you know, did in the military, being in harm's way, sacrificing the way they did. This is nothing. And they are all capable of greatness in the private sector. They just have to know that they can do it and have the confidence. And that's part of what we do at Academy Securities. We help transitioning military veterans, not just with obtaining a job, but a career. We team them with experienced people and fast track them to understanding, again, how their experiences can translate and the ways of Wall Street and get them licensed and get them to be able to, you know, touch Fortune 500 companies and build a life and a career for themselves. And, you know, that's what we've been doing. Even as a relatively small firm, and although we're growing rapidly, we've become a conduit to something much larger than ourselves, you know, because of what I did in my other lives with the military and professional football. I get to go on TV shows and financial shows, and all I do is they could ask me a question about, you know, what I think the stock market's going to do tomorrow. And I'll say, you know, you want to improve the stock market, just hire more veterans. So I'll twist it around and I'll turn it always back into the engagement of military veterans. But that exposure has corporations calling us, asking how they can get more involved. It gets us thousands of resumes. We're tied into a lot of different corporations and groups. And I'll tell you what, Wall Street and financial services has been vilified. Sometimes it's warranted, but Wall Street has done more to engage military veterans than any other sector. Years ago, there's a group called Veterans on Wall Street. J.P. Morgan started a 100,000 jobs mission, which is now a 200,000 jobs mission with no ceiling. So Wall Street has really been at the forefront and the leader of engaging transitioning military veterans. When we started this company, there was one state, the state of California, that had a mandate, a law, a set-aside that said 3% of the procurement of all goods and services must go through firms with our designation, service-disabled veteran-owned small business. Right now, there's about 43 states that have legislation in place or pending. Again, when we started this, there were a handful of companies that included disabled veterans in their supplier diversity program. Now, there's a couple thousand. So, you know, the trend is in favor of veterans and employment and careers, meaningful careers. So we're just happy to be a part of it. Maybe it's a small part, but, you know, we're making a big dent, and we continue to do so as we get bigger. You know, sometimes it's not always a fit for us, but, you know, we'll try to help in any way we can, provide networking opportunities and mentoring for our veterans, and we do that. So it's our pleasure But we understand the great value that our military veterans have provided our country and continue to provide.
That's great, and I'm excited to ask you a bunch of questions about Academy Securities and your work there. I wanted to start to go back though first to your first civilian career in the NFL, and I just imagine a lot of people listening, you know, are just curious to know, how did you make that transition? What was the story behind going from active duty Navy and then making it onto into the NFL?
Well, I was 27 years old, 158 pounds. I hadn't played football in 5 years. And, you know, I decided I want to go chase this dream. And, you know, literally people laughed at me. And I said, you had absolutely no chance. The odds were astronomically against you. You just you can't do it. One of the first things I did, support of one of my buddies from the Naval Academy who believed in me, and, you know, my family believed in me, but outside of that, nobody did. But I went to Steve Belichick. Bill Belichick's father, who was an assistant coach at Navy for decades. And I said, Coach, you know, I got to chase this dream. What do you think? And he says, well, you got to run under a 4.6 or nobody will even talk to you. So I went out the next day and he timed me and I ran a 4.4 and he goes, I'll call Bill, which meant Belichick. And Bill Belichick at that time just became the defensive coordinator of the Giants, got promoted from special teams coach. And then Bill Parcells got promoted from defensive coordinator to head coach. So I was at the first practice of, you know, their tenures. Romeo Crennel was on that staff, and then Tom Coughlin came a little bit later. And, hey, this is all I had, man. I wasn't prepared to do anything else, and I threw everything I had into this, every ounce of energy, the focus on obtaining this goal. And, again, the odds were really astronomically against me. But I dug down deep and, you know, I could out-hustle anybody, outwork anybody. And a lot of my military experiences prepared me for that, you know. And I tell people all the time, you've had incredible experiences. And, you know, if I can go and make an NFL team, you can go find meaningful career somewhere. You have it in you. So I was, I fought, scratched and clawed every day onto the team. But, you know, the thing is, and I never had it made. You know, I was always on the edge. I was always uncomfortable because I make one mistake, I could be cut, and I was cut a few times, and I fought back. So I think that's part of that whole experience is, you know, being comfortable, being uncomfortable, if you can understand that. You know, you just never had anything made, and you had to fight for everything every single day. And it's something that I did, and, you know, was lucky enough to wind up in a Super Bowl and catch a pass for the winning team. So that's something I can take with me for the rest of my life. But, you know, there again, the military helped prepare me. There's a lot of things. I was never in harm's way. Again, thanks to those that went before me. And just then am in awe, like I said before, of those that came after me and that were in harm's way. But the military was still tough, and the military still taught all of us a lot of valuable lessons. And I went on the practice field and they couldn't get me tired. I'd run till, you know, the cows came home. So that was a huge advantage for me. Military forced me to focus. I flew helicopters. If I didn't focus, I'd crash, burn, and die. When you're in the military, if you don't focus, you could, you know, lose your life and cost the lives of your teammates around you. So you're forced to focus. And that focused helped me in that career and then the subsequent career of what I did in financial services. So I guess what I'm trying to say is, you know, all of us, all military veterans have it in us to do great things in life. You know, it's just picking what it is that you want to do and what your passion is and going after it with all the gusto that you have and everything in your being that you did in the military. You know, the rest of the stuff is easy. You know, I tell the guys all the time, what you did in the military is 100 times harder than civilian life. So just understand that, dig down deep, and you can overcome and do anything.
I love that. I mean, I love that story of resilience and determination. And I think of all the people serving on active duty and that how that is the hallmark of what they're doing is that determination, that resilience. And I love how you applied that to achieve what many people told you was impossible. And you talked about that gusto. I'm just wondering, is there any other advice you would give, particularly to someone who's listening, who's maybe on active duty right now, who has aspirations of doing professional sports, be it football or any sort of professional sport after their military service? Do you have any other advice for them on how to pursue that and how to make that dream become a reality?
But really, it's anybody that has any dream. If there's a military person right now that wants to be a concert pianist, right, or somebody that plays the cello or an artist, whatever your dream is, it doesn't have to be sports because not all of us dream about sports. It's something else. I don't care what it is. If it's sports, if it's being a musician, an artist, a lawyer, a social worker, a teacher, I don't care. You have to focus and to obtain those dreams, and you've got to give everything you have towards it, every fiber in your being towards realizing that dream. But what I'm saying is look, we're all ordinary. As human beings, we're ordinary creatures. However, we're capable of extraordinary things. We're capable of doing extraordinary things. So again, whatever your dream is, understand that you are capable of doing extraordinary things. You are capable of realizing your dreams, and your experiences in the military will help you immeasurably. I mean, you think about going on deployment. Think about how tough that is. Think about, the loneliness at times. You leave a spouse or a family or just your comfortable surroundings. In how long those deployments are, and how you have to focus, and how you have to persevere. That is tough stuff. There are not many people in the civil and the private sector, civilians, that go through anything like that ever in their lifetimes, yet they go on to run huge companies or have these great successes. You take that focus, you take that discipline, and it takes focus, it takes discipline, right, and intestinal fortitude to get through a deployment. And to get home safely, because you have to focus about your job, whatever it is, because everything you do is dangerous on deployment, and you have to focus to avoid danger and to keep yourself alive and to keep your teammates alive. So you talk about the focus, the discipline, the intestinal fortitude. You can use that, all those qualities, into achieving your dream, whatever it is, football, medicine. I don't care. I just want to tell, if you don't hear, listen to anything else, veterans, active duty, or again, anyone tied to the military, you are capable of doing extraordinary things. And your military experiences give you a leg up. It's a platform. It's a springboard to do those things.
That's inspiring. I love that. That message, that same resilience that got you to the NFL, it's the same approach that people can take to achieve whatever it is their dream, no matter, whatever it is that seems unachievable, using that determination to catapult them to that. And I wanted to ask about, your second civilian career. And so as your time with the NFL drew to a close, how did you choose, how what was that path to Academy Securities?
Well, playing for the New York Giants and having a little bit of semi-celebrity, it helped get me indoors. So New York City being the financial capital of the world, that was kind of a natural progression. Was there for a while, had been started a family, moved to Southern California. And then about 7 years ago, I met Chance Mims. So I was 79 Naval Academy, he was 97. So the reciprocal number, we met through a mutual friend who was a special ops guy, and Chance was just starting Academy Securities, and just was extremely intriguing to me. It kind of gave me a chance to come full circle, to go back to my military roots, to work with like-minded, dedicated people, to be able to help our own. We say, who better to serve and who better to help military veterans than military veterans themselves. So, we understand the plight and we understand the challenges, and that's what we wanted to do. So it was early on at Academy that we teamed up, Chance Mims and I, and we built a great company. But that was kind of the beginning of it. The interesting thing is, and again, times have changed, where, when I was in the military active duty, especially early on, it was an anti-military sentiment. Now, the country is embracing military veterans, and rightfully so. So it's a great time. It's a great time to be a military veteran. And people want to help. People want to thank military veterans, and people want to help military veterans. So it's a really good time, to be absorbed back into the private sector and to make that transition. But the big key is you have to ask for it. You have to ask for help. It just doesn't come, floating down your driveway one day. You've got to ask for it. And you'd be amazed at the number of people, institutions, corporations, municipalities that want to help military veterans. So there's a huge opportunity out there, a great opportunity. I think it's about, grabbing it with all you can and taking that gusto and taking that discipline that you learned and just grabbing it and taking it to limits that, you want to go to.
I was curious to dig into just advice. I know so many veterans and so many people who listen to the show are interested in the world of finance. And I'm wondering, from the veterans that you have hired or mentored or interacted with over, the last several years, what advice would you give to veterans seeking a job in finance? Any ways in which they can start to prepare for that career? Any advice on the interview process or common mistakes you see people make? Just anything that might help them take that step in the financial services direction.
Well, I think you need to, read as much as you can. Look, it's not rocket science. It may seem complicated, but it's really not. Again, compared to what a lot of our military personnel do, this is not really hard stuff. So reading articles, trying to understand the markets a little bit, just have a working knowledge. But the big mistake that people make in the interview process is, remember, you're looking for a job. I got a job. I got a company. Right. And you're coming to, hopefully impress me. The big mistake is when people come to your office and they're asking you what you do, or asking you about your company, or asking you about yourself, that's a big turnoff. You're going to meet somebody for the first time. You're trying to impress them. You're trying to find a job or trying to get advice or mentorship. You better know all you can about that person you're meeting with, that company, and what they do. You don't have to know everything, obviously, but there's tons of information out there. It's easily accessible. Go to the internet, look up Academy Securities or Morgan Stanley or whomever, and read about that company, and then find some personal touch. Find the person you're talking to. Maybe he or she's from Des Moines, Iowa, and maybe your aunt lives in Des Moines, and find that personal connection. The big thing in life and in the private sector and sales and corporation, it's all about personal connection. So if you can make a connection, it makes your task easier, and you will impress someone by knowing as much about them as you can or that company. It's a huge mistake walking in and you ask somebody that you're looking for a job from, what do you do? Well, you're telling me you've got no interest in what I do. You want the easy way out, and I'm not giving it's hard. There's a lot of people looking for that job. So you need to impress, you need to do your homework, and it's not hard. You go to the internet and you find out, how did you enjoy going to school in South Florida, or whatever school? And my sister, she went to that school, or things like that. Little things makes a huge difference. Be prepared. Be overly prepared.
I love that. I'm also realizing as you're saying this, not only do you run Academy Securities, but you grew this from the ground up. And I know so many listeners are interested in entrepreneurship and aspire to start a company and grow a company. And I'm wondering what advice you would have for a veteran thinking of starting their own company on how they might grow that, and just any stories you want to share from your own journey.
So first of all, the credit all goes to my business partner, Chance Mims. He's got a lot more patience than I do. You know, to do this business, it took dealing with a lot of bureaucrats and a lot of time, and it's I don't have as much patience as he does. So he's smarter and a lot more patient than I am. So he gets a lot of the credit for that. But I think whatever it is, if you want to be an entrepreneur, you better be willing to sacrifice a lot. Because in fact, instead of, you know, making money in the beginning, you've got to take money out of your own pocket. You got to be prepared to do that. You got to be prepared to take money out of your own pocket to fund your business and go without a salary for a long time. Because you got to keep the doors open. You got to pay the rent. You got to pay the utilities. You got to pay, you know, your employees. So you're the last one to get paid. So you got to be ready to do that. You know, being an entrepreneur is tough stuff. However, if you're willing to sacrifice, if you're willing to live it, eat it, drink it, sleep it 24/7 and be obsessed with it, be obsessed with winning. You know, again, it just translates. What I'm talking about now is just not being an entrepreneur, but being a success in anything, in sales, in music, in anything. You've got to be so obsessed with it that that's all that's on your mind, and you're working it 24/7, every iota of energy and enthusiasm, everything you can muster going towards that goal. It's like I did when I was trying to make the NFL with all those odds against me. I never even thought about anything else. I didn't think about the alternative. I didn't think about another career. I thought about putting everything I had, every iota of energy, into accomplishing this goal. I was obsessed with it. I had a sense of urgency that was palpable all the time. And that's what it takes. And it's not a big secret why some people succeed and some don't. Are you willing to pay the price? Are you obsessed enough about something? And that obsession could come with just, you know what, I need to, you know, put a roof over my family's head, or I just need to feed my family. You know, that's a pretty good obsession. That's a pretty good motivator. You know, but a lot of people sometimes are pretty comfortable in their lot in life, and they give lip service towards wanting to be great, but they're not willing to pay the price. You know, I got a house, and, you know, I got a little steady paycheck, and, you know, a little bit comfortable. Well, there's not enough motivation there to pay the price. But that, you know, man or woman that has to feed their babies, you know, they're going to pay the price. They're going to sacrifice. They're going to do whatever it takes and continue and get knocked down time and time again, but keep getting off the mat and keep fighting. And those great, incredible success stories. Hey, I've studied highly successful people that have overcome tremendous odds my whole life. You know, I've tried to learn from others. I've tried to avoid mistakes. I've tried to, you know, take the path that others took. You know, it's not always the case. Sometimes you got to blaze your own trail, but in most cases, you can learn from the successes and the mistakes of others. And I've done that my whole life. And there's examples out there. And, you know, people can follow those leads. But, you know, you want to be a success in life, whether it's an entrepreneur or any endeavor, man, you got to be willing to pay the price. And it's hard. But you accomplish it. The upside is extremely rewarding. Winning is fun, you know. And in fact, the great competitors of my life that I've ever studied hate to lose a hell of a lot more than they like to win. Think about that for a second. The emotion, the emptiness of losing is much more intense than the joy of winning. I've been there. You know, I've lost big games, and I feel that today, decades later, I feel it more than I do the joy of winning, scoring a touchdown in the Super Bowl for the winning team. Think about that. I beat Army 3 times. I lost 1. I think about the loss much more than I do the 3 wins. Go figure. Maybe there's something wrong with me upstairs, but I'm a highly competitive person. I hate to lose a hell of a lot more than I like to win. So, you know, that could be an incredibly motivating factor for someone hating to lose and being a competitor. So you don't have to be the smartest person in the room. In fact, hugely successful people that I know, that I've observed, that I've watched, you know, a lot of times they're not the smartest. They didn't go to the best schools. Maybe they didn't even go to college, let alone a community college. So, you know, you don't have to have an Ivy League education to be successful. It's what's inside somebody. You can't measure. See, they could size me up and they looked at me. 5'9" and a half, 158 pounds. Haven't played football in 5 years. You know, they look at me and they think they can categorize me. They could stereotype me, right? You know, I come from Buffalo, this and that. So this whole exterior package, people prejudge me. They've prejudged me my whole life and doubted me. They have no idea what's inside me, what drives me. None. And nobody can by looking at somebody else, right? I mean, the great Martin Luther King, what was the most famous lines of all time? You know, judge someone not by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character, right? You look at somebody from the outside, think you can size them up, think you can judge them, but you have no idea what the content of their character is. And that's what overcomes everything. It's what's inside someone. So, again, I think for military veterans, those still active, don't let anyone categorize you. Don't let anybody tell you what you can and cannot do, because society has a way of doing that. Society has a way of taking the rest of us and sizing us up by what they see from the outside and what they know, and try to put us in these different categories and, you know, put you in this box, put the top on, put a nice bow on it, and put you over here. You know, you're limited because of these reasons, so we're going to put you over here. I never listened to that. I busted through all those stereotypes. I didn't. If I had listened to what others, the limitations others put on me, I never would have realized my dreams. So great advice to everyone is don't let anyone else put limits on you and your capabilities. Don't listen to anybody. They're naysayers, you know. They don't have the energy or enthusiasm to do something great. So they'll try to discourage you, because if you go out and try it and you accomplish it, they feel worse about themselves. So don't listen to them.
I think of, you know, at the Naval Academy, they made us memorize that man in the arena. And that's what comes to mind as you speak of that.
Teddy Roosevelt.
Yes.
Teddy Roosevelt.
Yep.
I had that saying. I had that saying in my cap at the Naval Academy.
Yep.
Inside, folded up. And I carried it in my pocket. I had it with me when I played for the Giants. The man in the arena, you know, whose face is marred with blood and sweat and tears. And yeah, it's one of the great things. I'd recommend everyone, you know, take a look at that great passage.
Yeah, it's so relevant to what you're saying, and to the path of entrepreneurship or the path of anything, of going after a dream and just learning to shut out the naysayers, learning to just turn down the volume on anyone who has doubt and just crank up the volume on those who are in your corner. And you talked about when you went out for the NFL, you talked about, you'd mentioned two people in your family who were in your corner cheering you on, and learning to listen to those voices rather than the ones who are just trying to dissuade you or trying to let their own fear control your life. And
yep.
So I think that's such a powerful words of wisdom you share.
Well, I totally believe it, and I want everybody else to believe it.
You know, I'm wondering. I'm imagining that listeners are also curious about, for you, what your life is like being president at Academy Securities and having achieved this senior role in the world of finance. Could you share more about, like, what sorts of things do you do throughout the week and throughout a given day?
Well, it's all about competition. When you're at a firm like ours, it's about winning. It's about getting better. It's honing your skills and having your teammates, you know, do the same. You know, Bill Belichick has a pretty simple mantra: do your job. And if everybody, and you know, military people understand that you got to do your job, because if you don't, you harm yourself and the person next to you. Everybody's got to do their job, work as unison. You know, the big thing about being teams and successful teams, and what we do here, and what I've done my whole life when I'm playing football at the Naval Academy and the Giants, everyone on that team is important. And when the culture of a team or a company is that everyone is important, that's how you win. I'll give you a great example. I'm playing with the Giants. I'm a punt returner. It's the lowliest job on the field. Nobody wants to do it. Not because you get hit hard, but because it's hard to catch that ball that's kicked into so high in the air, it comes down with ice on it. You throw in the wind and the spiral, and it's just horrific. So nobody wants to do it. So I was kind of low man on the totem pole. I had the worst job on a football field. Nobody wants to do that. But yet, it's very important. So So I was made to feel as important as the head coach, the Hall of Fame linebackers, Harry Carson and Lawrence Taylor. I was more as important as Phil Simms, the quarterback. When you have a team and you make everyone feel important because they are, you win. You win a Super Bowl. Mm. Think about when I was on a ship and I'm flying helicopters. Yeah, I'm the pilot, but the maintenance person fixing it was as important, because if they didn't do their job, you know, the mission fails. You crash, burn, and die. As important as the pilot was the maintenance people. And when you have a team and you treat everybody as important as anyone else, you win. You succeed. So that's what we do here every day. Look, I'm nothing special. I'm just a competitor. I want to win. I want to have people around me win, and I want to help motivate them. And, you know, I've done it for a long time, and I still compete. I still want to win, whether it's my personal life or my business life, or, you know, I still compete in track meets. I'm running sprints and masters track meets because I got to compete, and I can't stop. I'll be a competitor, you know, for the rest of my life. So it's where I get, you know, joy from, and it's what I want to do, and I just want to win. Mm.
That's great. I wanted to also ask you about resources, and you had mentioned earlier Veterans on Wall Street. I just spoke and interviewed Chris Perkins, who's over at Citi, and he had mentioned Veterans on Wall Street as well. I'm wondering, what else would you recommend to listeners who are interested in the world of finance? That could be books or podcasts or groups or anything else that you would recommend they check out?
Yeah, again, I think you reach out to Veterans on Wall Street. Go to J.P. Morgan's 100,000 jobs mission. There's quite a few charity organizations out there that are helping, trying to help military veterans. I'd seek them all out. I would reach every single one of them. And as far as, you know, learning, you know, the first thing you got to do on Wall Street is get licensed. You can't do anything unless you have a securities license, which is a Series 7. So, and the only way you can study for that Series 7 is to be sponsored by a registered firm like Academy Securities or J.P. Morgan or Morgan Stanley. So, you know, that's kind of a daunting task. If you're still active duty, it's a pretty tough thing to do. But if you can't do that, you know, read the Wall Street Journal. Just pick up any newspaper or go online and look at CNBC.com or Yahoo Finance and just start reading. You know, and absorbing as much as you can. You know, to me, that's the best thing. You know, if you're really into it, pick up Barron's once a week. That's all you need to know. And it's not, again, it's not anything that's overly complicated. It may seem so at first, but, you know, you can learn the basics. You can go online and basics in finance, and there's more information than you could ever believe. So it's at your fingertips. If you've got an interest, it's there. You got to want it. You got to have a voracious appetite to learn and to win and to compete. And if you do, you're going to be successful.
And one other thing I wanted to ask as well is, what's it like? What is the experience like for a veteran who's a new hire at Academy Securities? I'm just trying to paint the picture for veterans listening. If they, I can't imagine any veteran who wouldn't want to return to or live in San Diego. And so I'm wondering if they were to be lucky enough to work at Academy Securities, what does that career progression look like?
Well, first of all, we have offices not only in San Diego, but we're in New York City, Chapel Hill, North Carolina, Chicago, and Boston. So there's a lot of different areas. But what it looks like for, you know, we actually just hired a enlisted Marine, and he's in our New York office. And currently he's studying for his exams while he's being tutored in the business. So as he studies, we can give him exposure to the corporate world and what we do. And there's an outreach, and that person will start calling on different Fortune 500 companies to introduce, you know, there's not a lot you can do before you're licensed, but after you're licensed, you can, you know, talk to different corporations and, you know, open the door towards, you know, we always say we want to get the smartest person in the room. You know, you've got this hook being with a disabled veteran organization and people will listen to you and you can get in the door. And, you know, your job is to open the door initially, get the smartest person at Academy in the door to help you. And then eventually you become the smartest person in the room. So we take you and want to progress you to be able to, you know, help Academy and help yourself, you know, with knowledge, because, you know, from knowledge is power.
Awesome. Well, I always like to keep the last question open-ended, and I think that there's so much that veterans can learn from this conversation about resilience, about persistence, about following their dream with courage. But just knowing that you have an audience of veterans and active duty military members, any other final words of wisdom or advice you'd want to share with them?
It's pretty, I think, simple, is to have confidence in yourself. Your what you've accomplished in the military, you know, what you've done in your career is extraordinary. You're capable of doing extraordinary things, and have the confidence that your skills, your experiences can translate into the private sector, and that you can obtain a meaningful, fulfilling career, whether it's financial services or any sector. You're capable of it, and you have a huge advantage over a lot of people because you're disciplined, you're focused, and you've got the intestinal fortitude to overcome anything, because what you've gone through already, it is so much more than what you're going to find in the private sector.
Well, Phil, this is great. I appreciate your example, and I appreciate your words for the listeners, and encourage listeners to check out the show notes. I'll have links there to Academy Securities. I'll have a link to Man in the Arena and Veterans on Wall Street and the 100,000 Jobs Mission. But thank you so much for your time on this interview.
Great. My pleasure, Justin. Always willing to help our great heroes, and good luck to everyone.
Surface.
Thanks for listening. Three important notes before you go. First, Audible.com is offering a free audiobook for Beyond the Uniform listeners. I love Audible. I get 3 books a month, and it's a great way to use net, or no extra time, to polish off books while you run, drive, etc. If you go to beyonduniform.io/books, you'll not only find this offer, but you'll also find a list of every single book that has been recommended on this show. One in particular I'd recommend is The Hard Thing About Hard Things. This is a great story of determination and also a glimpse at what startups are really like. That's at beyonduniform.io/books. Second, there are so many great resources out there for veterans, it can be difficult to know all about them. That's why at beyonduniform.io/directory, you'll find a list of every single resource that's been mentioned on the show or that I've been able to find. You can also add your own if you find one I've missed. Lastly, I've put together several different free ebooks that provide data for veterans about their civilian career possibilities. This quantitative information serves as a great complement to the qualitative interviews I do each week. Go to beyonduniform.io, click on resources, and you'll be all set. Have a great week, and I'll be back next week with more interviews with military veterans about their civilian career.